Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. With me, I have Charlie with me, and I also have Sean. Say hello to everybody.
Hello.
What's up?
And tonight, we are actually reviewing 1990's Total Recall, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. Charlie, it's not Rambo time.
I don't care. I'm only going to be able to wear this headband. I don't care if it's Arnold or Schwarzenegger. I'm wearing it because Arnold wore. I don't care.
Okay.
You were throwing me off. I was like, wait, I thought we were talking about Total Recall.
We are. There, I took it off. I don't wear headbands for more. I just felt like just psyching you guys out.
Anyways, guys, welcome to the show. Like I said, we're doing Total Recall. This movie had a budget of $48 to $90 million. This also opened, not only that, but this also made $261.4 million at the box office. This is Sean's first experience Total Recall, but just to give a little bit of synopsis of what this movie's about in case you haven't heard about this movie, basically, this is what it's about. And basically it's about this guy who ends up going into Total Recall, who wants to actually experience going to Mars. And of course, you know, the best way to travel in this year is to space. So therefore he winds up going to Total Recall to try and go on vacation. So Sean, what did you think of this movie?
I thought it was really good. It holds up for like early 90s. Like I for some reason when we're talking about watching it, I thought it came out in the 80s, because I don't know. With Arnold, I just always assume like late 80s, early 90s stuff. But I thought this was like an earlier one. The premise still holds up. It's kind of eerie how like for vacations, all they do is just plant memories. You don't actually go there. But then I was kind of thinking like, is that really that bad? Like, especially like look at now, like COVID times when you have to socially distance. Like, would you want to go on a Total Recall to where like they put in a fake vacation that was really fun?
I would definitely do that, to be honest with you. I can choose to be a secret agent. I can be anything I want. Heck yeah, sign me up. I'll definitely do it. about you, though?
But yeah, I liked it a lot. I thought it was cool. I thought the effects hold up really well. Arnold's acting, I don't know. It was really corny. but yeah, I thought everything else held up well. The aliens, the mutants, I should say, were super creepy, and the prosthetics looked really good. But yeah,
like I said before, this movie, the year is 2084. Mars is a colonized world under the tyrannical regime of Vilos Cohagan, who controls the mining of valuable terrabin ore. On Earth, construction worker Douglas Quaid experiences reoccurring dreams about Mars and a mysterious woman. Intrigued, he visits Recall, a company that implants realistic false memories, and chooses one set on Mars with a blue sky, where he is a Martian secret agent. But like I said, I like the originality behind it. I thought that this was very smart, especially in the 1990s. And then also, too, looking back at it now, and I think Sean can agree with me, and I think even Charlie can agree with me, that this actually has a little bit of a Matrix kind of feel to it, looking back at it now, compared to where I first watched it as a kid. Because whenever I first watched it as a kid, I'm not thinking about that. I'm just thinking, oh, great, how, look at Arnold kicking ass and taking names and everything. And now I'm looking at the plot of it. It has a lot of Matrix vibes to it and everything. You have the red outline of Mars, which also signifies death. You also have the red pill that the Total Recall scientist wants them to take to go back into reality, which is also going with the red and blue pill from the Matrix. But what do you guys think? Did you guys get any? I know that you, I know that Charlie told me that you had some Matrix vibes, Sean.
Yeah, like I think when I was watching, I was texting you guys, and when they had the red pill, I was like, oh shit, did Matrix steal this? I didn't realize, not just watching the movie for the first time, how much like action pop culture movies like take from this, like the Welcome to the Party or whatever. Or, yeah, that was this movie, right?
I'll see you at the party, Richter.
Yeah, see you at the party, like shit like that. I was like, damn, I was like, they must have got this from Total Recall.
He actually, Arnold used that, like, that party line in a sense in that movie Commando, which is a great, that was more 80s, and that's where his one-liners are. He goes, come on, Bennett, let's party. Like, something along those lines, but it's like, I mean, this, if you don't like Arnold, you're not gonna like this movie. It's like, it's classic one-liners, considered a divorce. You think this is Quaid? It is. Like, I just love that line. It's like, where he's like, when the whole technology and the gadgets, like that watch thing was really cool about, like, when it's for the projectors. But, like, when he shows up, he's laughing. Oh, shit, it's not him. And then when he shows up, he's, oh, you think this is the real Quaid? It is. He's just like, I mean, and then, like, there's a lot of criticism of this movie when it came out in the 90s that, man, people didn't like it because it was really violent. I'm like, watching it now, compare it like with this technology we have these days and all the violent movies we have, this is tame. And honestly, if this movie had not been as violent, I don't think Tarantino would have gotten that whole idea of blood quips, because I think Tarantino kind of like took that idea, because Paul Verhoeven, when he was on a stride, he hit like some really good movies. Like, he had this one, which was great. He had Starship Troopers, which is after this one. That's a very entertaining movie as well. Mm-hmm. And then the iconic classic in the 80s, which we'll have to do a review of, since Sean told us he's never seen but we got to do RoboCop. And RoboCop is way more violent than this one. And RoboCop came out in the 80s, so like 87. So it's like, I mean, but the blood quips in this one are just like, damn, like this one guy, when Arnold's using him as a human, after he gets shot, Arnold's using him as a human shield. He gets shot like 15 times. Yeah. And you just see the blood splatter up everywhere. It's like, yep, that's Tarantino vibes. But like, I mean, this is classic Arnold. Like, or this is like, and this is one of his best, in a sense. A lot of people said it's best. I mean, it's not, didn't get a lot great reviews, but it's made a lot of money, and it's a popular movie. And it's like, and I just watched it in 4K like last night, cause I got the anniversary edition. Man, the color schemes, they will, like, when it's the red sequences, bright red, like it's not greeny, it's clear. So I mean, for a movie in the 90s, watching it in 2022 still holds up.
And I think that's the thing with like with practical effects, is that older movies hold up a lot better. Like if you take like Gremlins or Critters or Tremors, where they use like actual like prosthetic stuff and actually like animatronics instead of like CGI in it. Like, I think that stuff holds up better when you go back to watch it now.
Definitely. The only thing that I have to say that didn't hold up was the wall, when they were trying to get through the wall. It looked a little too styrofoamy to me, but still it has an overall cheesiness of it looking back at it now, especially with that big machine and it's actually cutting Quaid's arm, and then you're expecting them maybe to die and everything. If you haven't seen the film, this movie to me is really a really good fun action sci-fi film. Also too, whenever we're introduced to Quaid, he's having that nightmare and everything of him being on Mars, and all of a sudden he falls off of Mars and he winds up hitting head first onto the rock, which is causing him to die. And he wakes up and he's with his wife, and she's like, so did you have the dream again?
Yeah,
she's the brunette in it.
That's what I don't get. I'm married. If I ever had a dream about another woman, I would never tell my significant other that. That's just so weird. Yeah. Like,
and she was okay with
especially imaginary one, like not even one that's like real. Like,
and then it's like, and it's Sharon Stone, of course, plays his wife. And if everybody doesn't know, there's the other version of this movie came out in 10 years ago in 2012, and that was the first one Sean saw. So comparing the two, nothing holds up to the original, but there's aspects of the new one I liked that this one didn't do. Like, I loved in the new one that they made Lori the primary baddie, and she's not so much of a baddie in this one. She's just there. She just shows up periodically, but Lori is a prime, and then they had Kate Beckinsale play Lori in the Colin Farrell version. She was the highlight of that movie. She was an absolute badass, and she was the primary villain. Like, she's taking control. Like, there's a lot of differences between two. A, of course, PG-13 rating, because that seems to be the trend. Oh yeah, no, a classic Paul Verhoeven movie that came out in the 80s and 90s. Okay, yeah, we're gonna reboot it, but we gotta make it PG-13.
I wonder if the only reason it was R was because of language. Like, because they like say fuck a lot, which is like nowadays that's nothing. Like, I feel like it's commonplace. But like back then, I just feel like it's different. And maybe that's why I got the R. Yes, it was bloody. And I think you did mention that that's what people didn't like about it. But
they said it was violent. And I think the violence and the language probably had something to do with it. Probably for this one, like this, the R rating. And maybe the idea of the heads exploding and stuff, because that could scare people too, because that can actually literally happen in real life. Somebody did a test on it. I think so. And then because in the PG-13 movie, they had the three boob ladies. She showed up in that one as well, but it was brief.
Yeah, this one, dude, they played that so much.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you want to feel my tits? And then 5 minutes later, hey, you want to feel my tits? And the one guy's like, well, man, I really want to feel her tits. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Well, get this, though. The actress that played that character told the woman who was playing that character and everything, if you're going to play her, do not, if they're going to go into that narrative of, do you want to see my tits? Let it just be a one-time thing or not even do it at all. Show some respect to the women and everything in today's time versus whenever I was in it in the 90s. So that was something that I really appreciated from the actress, the 90s, giving the advice to someone that's in a 2011 or 2012 world that we lived in at that time.
I do want to know, though, like, whoever wrote that scene, like, when they did it, were they like, man, this is it. This is hot. This is a woman with three boobs. Like, this is great. Like, I don't know. To me, it's just like, wow, that's weird. And then that's it. Like, there was nothing ever.
Yeah.
I don't know. No other sexualness came in this weird head about it. I was just like, that's interesting.
Dion says the video call to Mars shown in the movie should have had a delay of at least 12 minutes because of the times that we live in.
But I think I enjoyed the remake, what they did with Colin Farrell. I thought they did some nice things with it. Is it better than this one? Absolutely not. But I appreciate what they did. They tried to do with it. They created some other, it made it a little bit different. And I liked Colin Farrell in it, and I loved Kate Beckinsale in it, because she was like, I mean, that fight scene with her and Melina was kind of a little bit better in that one, because they had that cool fight scene in the elevator. And then this one was okay. But I think they're trying to make it a not straight by straight remake. I mean, I appreciate that. However, compared to the other reboot they tried to do for RoboCop in 2014, that was a piece of crap. Epic piece of crap compared to the, right, after watching that movie, I was so pissed off. I had to find the original and watch it right away because they definitely did it and it wasn't cool. It really wasn't cool at all. Compared to, like, so, I mean, it varies, but I think for this one, like, nothing beats the original, but there's aspects of the remake that I liked. I mean, if you're interested, if you've seen this one, you haven't seen the Colin Farrell one, you can try to find it. It's decent. It's got some really good cool action set pieces in it, and it's entertaining, but nothing beats the, like, to quote Sydney from Scream 4, don't fuck with the originals.
You see, for me, I haven't seen well, I tried watching the remake once, and I couldn't picture anybody else but Arnold, because that's what I grew up on, to the point where it's like, I pretty much checked out of it after 20 minutes of watching.
Because I watched it in theaters. Like, again, I watched it because I was like, I was intrigued, and I was like, I'm going to check this out just to see. I mean, the action, though, I mean, the visuals looks really good. It was really cool visuals. And they're not doing a shot-by-shot remake of this one. They're not in Mars. They're in, like, I forgot where they're at, and I think
it's more of a serious tone.
It is. It's a little bit of a serious tone. And
it feels more like a Blade Runner.
Yeah. It's got that Blade Runner feel to it.
Like neo-noir.
Yeah. I mean, definitely try to watch it. I mean, there's aspects that I liked out of it. Again, I like Laurie's the primary villain in that one, because I think they could have done so much better with Laurie in this one instead of just being the blonde wife that tried to, like, hey, you want to have sex? Well, like while I distract you, will the guards show up? And he goes, clever girl.
Which came from Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
But another thing I want to mention, though, too, is like after the introduction of his wife, and then he goes to work. Then after that, he tells his partner and everything, hey, look, I want to go on ahead and go to Total Recall. Oh, no. Last time I went to Total Recall and everything, something bad actually happened. So
yeah, I got lobotomized.
Yeah, lobotomized. Yeah. And so, you know, Quaid goes on ahead, checks out Total Recall. He winds up signing up for the Special Agent package to go to Mars. He goes, why do you want to go ahead and just go to Mars as yourself when you can go to Mars as a secret agent? So that's when
everyone's trying to get him to go to Saturn too. Like, you should
try
Saturn.
Is like a lamest planet. I wouldn't want to go to Saturn, to be honest with you. I like this, to be honest with you, this is actually the movie that got me into Mars, to be honest you. Yeah, this is what made me do some research on Mars. This is actually the movie that made Mars my favorite planet as a kid, and do some astronomy and stuff. But you know, this movie to me still holds up. I also, like I've mentioned before, he winds up going into recall, and then they wind up sitting him down on the chair. Next thing you know it, they're having complications with Quaid. Quaid winds up ripping the handle off and everything, and basically freeing himself, and then he winds up escaping.
That's later on, I believe.
He still escaped once in this movie, twice in this movie, basically. But
he flips out.
Yeah, he flips out. I don't think he breaks the handle yet, because they didn't inject him. He doesn't break the handle until like this second time, I believe.
That's right, because they actually have to go on ahead and give him the shot to calm him down, and after that he's That's right. I'm jumping a little bit, my bad. But
no, you're good. That's a good scene though. It's not a classic Paul Verhoeven move. Somebody needs to get stabbed in the neck by like something sharp. Like, and then take it out, and you see the blood pop out. Like that, again, that happens in RoboCop as well. Again, there's a lot of classic Paul Verhoeven moments in this one that I remember. Like, yep, I remember this from RoboCop.
Oh. Crichton said it really is a good marriage of taking a classic movie to a reboot movie that really holds up to all fans from all decades.
Yeah.
Yep, I definitely agree, Crichton.
So. Since you brought up remakes, so like Total Recall, for instance, like you were saying, Charlie, that the remake of it is not shot from shot. It's kind of, almost like a different tone to it.
Yeah.
So when other movies that you like or stuff that hasn't been remade yet that you would like to be remade, would you prefer them to stay super close to the source material and do that shot for shot thing? Or maybe hit like a few key moments, but kind of have its own story.
Depends on the movie. Like, I mean, like not everything has to be remade. Like there's ones I definitely don't want them touching. Like, don't touch Face Off, which I was happy when the director of Godzilla vs. Kong came out and he said he's making a sequel to Face Off, because Face Off does not need to be rebooted or remade. That's fine the way it is. Like, I mean, it's like it depends on the movie. Like something like the stuff that came out, like definitely don't touch any of the John Woo international action movies, like Hard Boiled. Do not touch that. That movie is.
Well, let's say they were going to. Like, what would you want them to try to keep it as close to the source material as possible? Or would you mind, as long as they hit like kind of the key moments mm-hmm. in the movie. They hit those scenes dead on, but then kind of have like a different story.
I don't want I definitely don't want a shot by shot remake.
No,
because I definitely want that. It really has to depend on the movie and how iconic it is. Again, for me, it's like I can't think of it. I know like they've been trying to do The Crow for years, and I think you just need to let Brandon Lee just leave him alone. Like that movie's been in like developmental hell for like centuries at this point. New director comes in, the director falls, actor comes in, and especially now it's all been Brian Hyde that with the whole shooting on the set of that movie Rust, like so mm-hmm. that like so that's like that like so it's like that I don't know, that movie's just got so much history with it, you just need to leave The Crow alone. I don't know. I mean, it really depends on the movie and how much I really care for it. Like, if they did a reboot of The Matrix, no. Like, again, it really has to depend on the movie.
How about you, John?
For me, it has to hit the same beats, but make it your own.
Mm.
It's like having a cover song, for example. You can have the same melody as long as you make the melody your own. Or if you can't do the melody, just don't do the melody. For example, Disturbed did a good job with Sound of Silence, mm-hmm. which is doing yeah. the way they did it. And so I think that you can actually make it your own movie like Rob Zombie did and not do a beat for beat. Allow it to be your own. Let it marinate to make it your own film and let it, as long as it hits that beats and as long as it hits those plot points that it needs to be hit, I'm fine with it. But if yeah. they go off the rails and not... they call it like Total Recall and then they wind up doing something opposite of what Total Recall actually is, if they don't incorporate at least the machine or at least some yeah. way of them doing something, this is not Total Recall. It's just a new movie with the title mm-hmm. Total Recall attached to it. Mm-hmm. That's what I have a problem with remakes sometimes. It's just,
yeah.
you know, it's just a attention grabber sometimes. Yeah. And it's actually not what it is. It's a misidentification of what the movie is.
And that's definitely not what that did not happen with the Total right. Recall, the one that came out in 2012.
Right, I was just
using that as still there. There's a lot of it still there. I think a recent movie, which I don't know what the hell decided to do, classic movie Sudden Death, Jean-Claude Van Damme, ice hockey rink. They play Powers booth takes over the entire vice president's booth area. They have like every quarter he kills a hostage. And Jean-Claude Van Damme has to save him. So that movie is great. Great Jean-Claude. Then they made a sequel called Welcome to Sudden Death with Michael J. White. Guess what game this one is? It's a basketball game. Doesn't make sense. There's no sudden death in a basketball game. There's no. They called this the sequel, yet there's no icon, no mention of the other characters. Nothing. They just called it Welcome to Sudden Death, which it says is a sequel. But he can't play. There's no sudden death in basketball. Like, and it's like, it was like, what the hell did I just watch? Because I know, like, I just watched, like, on Christmas Eve, I watched Sudden Death because it was like, it was on like the Tubi app, which is like free movies. But you just got to watch ads with it. But I mean, it's just, it's so good. I mean, it's just, it's a classic. And it actually had real NHL players, real teams, real logos, real everything. And that one's classic. It was good. It's a good Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. It's entertaining. It's intense. And Powers Booth is as well. Powers Booth. I mean, he plays good villains, and he's just got that voice. Like, you don't think he's a villain, but kind of he doesn't sound like one, but he is. And then you do Welcome to Sudden Death, and it has nothing to do with the original. And they're playing basketball. There's no sudden death in basketball. What made you come up with that? If there's no sudden, like, it's like
they should just call it overtime.
Yeah, overtime. Sudden death too. Overtime.
Welcome to overtime. I'm like, what the hell? I mean, that's a good case of them completely airballing the movie. Literally airballing. But I think, I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. It just depends on the movie. Like, I mean, if it's like such an iconic, have some sequences in it, but don't remake the heck out of it. Like, they tried doing that RoboCop, and that one just fell. Literally, it fell down the stairs like the giant Tauntaun with guns. It fell down there. It's kicking and squirming, literally.
But this movie works though in a lot of ways, though. Too, it makes you think. because usually in the 90s movies and stuff like that, you don't have a lot of movies that make you come out of theater and makes you think about things. This one does. This one makes you think on a sci-fi aspect to it. If you get rid of the one-liner puns that Arnold does, if you get rid of some of the other cheesiness and the bloodiness of the film, underneath the surface of it, if you scratch long enough, you wind up finding stuff that you can question, like, did he dream? Did he actually go to Mars? Or was he still stuck in that chair? It makes you question about a lot of things. And also, too, you know, whenever the doctor comes in, the only way that he was actually knowing if, for example, that if he was there or not was because the doctor was sweating and he was just BSing. And then, of course, that's when Quaid goes on in and shoots him because of the fact that because the doctor was sweating. If he wasn't sweating, I think he would have actually lived. Or Quaid would have actually had the red pill and swallowed it. But then here comes Sharon Stone after he winds up shooting the doctor. Now you just ruined everything, like you always do. Next thing you know, you see the bad guys crashing through the walls. You see total chaos and total recall when you see that scene.
I mean, I guess another lesson is don't be a side character named Harry. Because it seems like in the 90s, if you're a side character named Harry, you're going to die. And that's what it seems like. I mean, with this one, Keanu Reeves' partner, or Harry in Speed. The only time Harry lives is when Arnold plays him in True Lies. When his real name is Harry Tasker. Unless you're a main character and your name is Harry in the 90s, you're just going to die. That's pretty much it. But yeah, it's just like, I mean, I just loved, the original Death of the Movie is awesome. Oh, wow, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Peter Himes, yeah. The director. All right, then. But yeah, I mean, the original Son Death is just great. It came out in 1996. But don't watch the sequel. I don't even know what the hell to call it. I call it an abomination. I'll just do that.
Well, we can call it manscaping. That's what we can call it. Because you know why? Cheers to 2022 and resolutions you can actually keep. How about having clean and shiny balls all year round? Our sponsors at Manscaped are here to save your balls, like Quaid did in Total Recall. Make the ball drop into the 2022 the cleanest and sexiest ever. Set your first New Year's resolution with good intentions and join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the promo code MovieLoveTonight for 20% off plus free shipping. Also, too, with 2022, MovieLoveTonight. MovieLoveTonight. Trust me, Sean, your balls will be thanking you and so will your wife, because your balls will be shiny. You don't have to worry about going to sudden death, because there is no sudden death, and you won't have to worry about going into overtime either. So, therefore, you know what you do is? You go on ahead, you go over to, speaking of doing new routines, you know, I like to go on ahead and trim with the Lawnmower 4.0. You'll find the signature Lawnmower 4.0, the electric trimmer, is designed to trim hair on loose skin. It's just perfect for Mars, because you don't want your balls to be stuck to you while you're in space. No, sir, you don't want that. The Advanced Skin Safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate nuts. It is also a
delicate
It also comes equipped with 4,000 LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land, like Inland 2022 looks to be. A grooming routine is incomplete without applying Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver. Before showing off your 2022 self, this unique formulations take care of the smelliest part of your body and are a big boost to your confidence into the new year. You see, I do a lot for this channel. I like to actually help people preserve their balls and make them smell so good and clean that your wife will say, thank you. So, to complete the set, Manscaped threw in their shed travel bag and anti-chafing boxer briefs as a free gift to keep all your goodies stored comfortably. And the new product that needs no introduction, the Ultra Premium Body Wash from Manscaped, solves all three of the perfect addition to your daily grooming routine. But in the shower. I shower every day and hope you do too. The body wash smells great too. It's cologne infused with aloe vera and sea salt to keep your skin feeling clean and nice and moisturized. Kick discomfort and poor hygiene to the curb, because guess what? This year, you use the best tools for the job. Whether your resolution is to work out more or travel to new places, be sure to travel to manscaped.com for your exclusive offer for 20% off plus free shipping with the promo code MovieLovesUnite. And cheers to new balls in 2022.
Nice.
And that is how you use Manscaped 4.0. Anyways, let's get back into the let's
Did go you get ahead. Some Manscaped? They send it to you to try?
Yeah.
It?
Hold on. Well, I have my bag somewhere.
So you can use it for your face and your balls.
I wouldn't use it for my face after going. I wouldn't use it.
I was going to say, like, it would just be the same. Like, if it's in the shower, right? So technically, it should be clean down there. I'm not saying, like, I'm going to go work out and then I'm going to shave my crotch and then I'm going to shave my face.
Right. And then I wouldn't jump recommend in the shower.
No, that's the way, that's on, like, you're on the wrong channel. That's OnlyFans.
Yeah, that show's OnlyFans.
I wonder if a lot of people from OnlyFans are sponsored by.
You know what? Let me go on ahead. I'm going to help you out real quick. Shirley, you know what? Keep on talking about your grooming tips for a minute and everything, and I'll be right back with the 4.0 to show you.
Okay, yeah.
Hold on.
Do you have grooming tips, Charlie?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I just let it grow out because I want to look older. That's why.
Make you look older so I don't look like a 12-year-old boy.
I was literally called that. Not recently. It was a couple years ago. It was with my dad and my brother. We just came back from a Nats game, and he had a parking lot area that we were able to park because he was a government employee, so he was able to that. And then so we came out, and then when the attendees there was asking for ID, so I was pulling out my ID, and she looks at it, she laughed at me, he's like, oh my god, I thought you were 14. And that was really? That. Yeah. Well, that was years ago, but that's why I start growing the beard.
See, now that'd be cool. You got to use that to your advantage to get like discounts on stuff. You start wearing like the really tight white shirt and like the hat with the little spinny on it. You know what I'm talking about? Carry a balloon.
Oh, yeah. No way. When you said white shirt, I thought it was like the Dom Toretto, like the classic mafia wife beater shirt.
Or you could if you want. Like, yeah. Yeah.
No.
Be like, yes, my son loves Vin Diesel. It's his idol.
Yeah, no. But no, I mean, I don't have any grooming tips. I just let it grow out until, like, yeah.
What about down there, then? I used, I guess I need to try Manscaped because I just used, like, the thing I use. Well, obviously, I haven't shaved in a while. But I use what I use in my face for down there as well. And it's like fucking danger zone. You never know what you're going to snip or cut. And it's just...
Yeah, sorry, we're leading back to our total recall review shortly.
Wait,
what? This is a live infomercial about Manscaped.
And why I need it.
My good.
But anyway,
you know what'd be funny? So it comes back and John's standing up, like, let me show you how it works. And it's like, oh god, like big blur just like comes up on the screen.
Enter the danger zone.
It's like, oh no.
Happy 700 subscribers, everybody. This is what you're. This is our new and approved movie lovers.
maybe Arnold, like one of his recalls will be to go get some Manscaped. That's like that could be like commercials for the future.
After he's done hooking up Molina, after he's telling her, oh yeah, I just feed it blondes.
Well, no, you go in,
all right,
and let's say like Manscaped sponsors like Recall, Total Recall. So like, okay, we'll give you like a free trip to Disney, but in order to do this, almost like a timeshare type thing, you can have a 1-day recall at Disney World, but you have to have a 10-minute recall of using Manscaped, and then you're gonna see like how much you love Manscaped, so it's gonna implant it in your brain, and then you're gonna go out and buy it.
Exactly, and I only shave with the best.
There you
go.
This
is the 4.0. This has a little light. It has a crop preserver.
Crop preserver? What does that do?
And also, two, it has the electric charger, of course. And then after that, we have ball toner.
Was it like tighten them up?
It's basically like aftershave for your balls.
I've seen Home Alone. I don't know if I want to try that.
But anyways, that's everything you need to know about manscaping. Sorry about that, guys. So let's go on ahead and get on with the review here. So like I said before, This to me is one of my favorite Arnold movies. I think this is one of those films that is smart. It knows what it is. It knows the identity of the film and stuff like that too. I think that this is hands down one of my favorite Arnold movies.
I know, Sean. Like you were like when you're drunk, life messaging us when you're watching this movie about some of your reaction you had, like the Cueto character. I just want to hear your reaction to Cueto.
Who was that?
That was the creepy alien kid. The person.
Oh yeah, dude, that freaked me out. Like,
and you're drunk too.
Have you ever seen that movie, Ghoulies?
No,
like it's like a horror movie. I think like it's either late 80s or early 90s. Like the famous cover, I think is.
It's like
the first one. He's like coming out of the toilet.
Yeah.
So like that's what it reminded me of, and it was like flipping me out. Because not that those movies are scary. They're like those horror comedy type things. But just the look of the thing just like coming out of its stomach and talking and moving. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
And yeah, he said, you've never been more happy to see a kid get shot.
Yeah, then once that little alien stomach baby died,
Quaid,
I was like,
start the reactor. some of the one-liners in this were just hysterical. Like, what have you been feeding this thing, blondes? Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
And then that one, or when he's got the drill and he's taking out Benny, like, hey Benny, screw you! Like, yeah. he's screwing him with the drill. Like, it's just like,
oh, yo.
I mean, it's just like that. But I think that the favorite line for me of Arnold is like, I'll see you at the party, Richter. Like, I just love that line.
Chucks his arms.
And he's got the hands. Like, it's completely, yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, again, this movie is violent. Like, there's a lot of blood quips. Like, this one guy gets shot like 15 times because he's being used as a human shield. Is this an innocent civilian? This has got a lot of great action sequences in it, and it's just like, I mean, and this the whole sequence at the end when he's taking out the entire army when he's with the watch, because the watch thing is so cool. Oh, yeah. And then like the clones, it's like, you think this is the real Quaid? It is. And he's just plowing through the guys. Like, it's just the scene of like the scene that smirk with his when he's just mowing down enemies with the gun. Like, it's just like. That or the iconic sequence of like the classic Paul Verhoeven. Oh, if you get throat stabbed, like you get stabbed in the neck, like and it's something sharp, like the one guy, the one doctor. Once he manhandles the thing with the sharp edge on it, he just stabs the guy's neck, plops out, and it's more brutal in RoboCop, but he does this, like RoboCop does the same thing in that one too. Yeah, and like again, it's just a lot of Paul Verhoeven like hints. And then it's funny because there's a lot of people that are in this movie that's been in other Paul Verhoeven movies, like the Cohagen himself, Ronnie Ronnie Cox. He was he played Dick Jones in RoboCop. And you have Sharon Stone is in this. She was also in his other movie when around the time he's gone crazy in Basic Instinct. And then Michael Ironside, who played Richter. He's in he played the teacher / instructor in Starship Troopers. So there's a lot of guys that like at the time that worked with Paul Verhoeven. Then he worked with him again. So it's just kind of cool. He's just that type of a director. That was before he went crazy and did Showgirls. Yeah, this is a great movie. It's just a great Arnold movie. It's got like the classic one-liners and all that good stuff. I mean, and it's thought-provoking. It's like watching the end of this and about, is it a dream? Is it a reality? It's very fitting because this reminds me of Inception, of the ending of Inception, because it's talked about and there's iconic to this day. They're still talking about this. Is it a dream? Is it reality? Same like what they did in Inception. And then, so there's a lot of elements in this movie that other directors have used. I mean, this movie essentially is The Matrix before The Matrix even existed. And it was 9 years later, they did The Matrix. And The Matrix is like the idea of going on a trip, but instead of like your mind there, you're actually getting physically like plugged in to the computer in a sense. So there's a lot of elements from this movie that they used in The Matrix. So if essentially we didn't have Total Recall, we wouldn't begin in The Matrix and we sure as hell wouldn't begin Inception.
No, so that's definitely not.
I appreciate this movie a lot more, and it definitely holds up.
It definitely does, and I want to mention this, though, too. My other favorites, as far as favorite scenes go, I like the part where Arnold is disguised as himself as a woman. to sneak in through security. And she has some like a malfunction with it. Because 2 weeks, 2 weeks.
That was so whack.
And then all of a sudden, the mannequin head pops open, and then there's Arnold being revealed, and then he winds up here catch, and they wind up catching the head, and it explodes. Speaking of heads exploding, but you know that part right there had a little bit of Jason Bourne, a little bit, and a little bit of a spy thriller kind of feel to it, and everything mixed with some sci-fi, maybe a little bit of Minority Report mixed in. But I liked it.
To go on that point, there was supposed to be a sequel to this, and there was supposed to be a sequel. So I think there's a lot of like the sequel to this, and then they tried doing it, and then they decided not to. Like they couldn't really come up with a sequel. That's what. So this movie set the sequel to this was supposed to be Minority Report, but stuff changed in that. But I remember reading that there was supposed to be a sequel to this, and then because this is based off a book by Philip K. Dick, I forgot who. But he did. He's written books that movies have been doing the inspiration for Minority Report was one of them.
It's a book. Is it Do Androids Dream of Robotic Sheep or something like that?
Yeah, I can look it up. But yeah, it's Philip K. Dick. Electric Dreams was one of them. Electric Sheep.
Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Yeah.
Which is also probably where they got the idea for Westworld at, in a sense. As well.
Yeah, that was Blade Runner. Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? Mm-hmm. That was Blade Runner. Total Recall is We Can Remember It For You Wholesale. Then he did a movie, Screamers, was based on the short story Second Variety. A Minority Report was based on the short story Minority Report. This movie, Imposter, based on Imposter. I've seen the Gary Sinise movie. It wasn't great. Paycheck, the John Woo Paycheck with Ben Affleck. This was based on the same idea from by Philip K. Dick. Scanner Darkly was another one.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Next, which was loosely based on the short story "The Golden Man" with Nicolas Cage, horrible movie. I watched that; that was pretty bad. The Adjustment Bureau, loosely based on the short story "The Adjustment Team." The second adaptation was the Total Recall movie, which was We Can Remember For You Wholesale. So. Yeah, there's been a lot of iconic movies that were based off Philip K. Dick's ideas. So, I mean, obviously, he's created some really interesting stories, and they've provided some really good movies.
As a whole and everything, this movie is really good. The action sequences was really good. Even whenever they're holding on, whenever they break the glass with the whole entire dome and everything too, and the air's being brought out and everything too, you have a frightening experience of if these aliens are going to actually survive or not too. So you don't know the outcome of the aliens, the slash mutants. You don't know what to expect with this movie, which is something I liked. And also too, whenever we're introduced to Arnold Schwarzenegger's love interest that was in the dream, I thought that was actually pretty neat that, you know, he designed an avatar that was actually for him, and she's actually there in this world that he wants to be in. And I have to say, I prefer her over his wife, to be honest. The
blonde. Yeah. Lori. She's a bitch. Or as like she said, and then the iconic art considered, like, but honey.
Consider the divorce.
Consider it divorce. What a bitch, or this, whatever, there's so many of this other funny, like, I got five kids, man, and he ends up, and then Benny, and then, but the funniest part is when he tells the robotic taxi driver, screw you, or whatever, like, or eat shit, or whatever that is, and then he turns into like a murderous machine. He tried to run over Arnold, and he just blows up. I was like, okay. Poor guy.
That was my favorite part, though.
Like, that was hysterical.
shit. Sorry, I did not understand what you're trying to say. shit.
I don't think that's a location. And then the other two, the idea, like the other symbolism for the Matrix is that tracker that he has up his nose that he has to extract out. like that one is the nose, but it's the same type of idea. It's like it's holding, like it's like in a giant ball or something, and that's something similar to what Neo did, and like had like got sucked into him in the Matrix. But it's like it was a more like enhanced, like a more like creepy version of it, but same idea about a tracker in your body. I mean, so I think so. There's a lot of, again, there's a lot of symbolism with the Matrix in this one. So it's like, yeah, I mean, again, it's because of this movie we got the Matrix, which I thought, yeah, it's pretty good.
Well, it's definitely like this movie impacted the future of like sci-fi action movies.
Yeah.
So. And it was also ahead of its time, though, too, with the technology as well. Because I remember doing a review on technology and the way that sci-fi action movies or sci-fi movies changed the world. You had GPS. You had an X amount of different things in Total Recall itself that it really coincides with our technology that we have today. Like, for instance, we have webcams. We have ways of calling people on the internet and stuff like that. FaceTiming. GPS, it's all that is there in Total Recall, which is way ahead of its time during that time. And it's supposed to be 2038, and here we are in 2022, and we have that technology, which I find really fascinating.
Recall's right around the corner.
Well, they're already talking about beaming people up into other rooms and everything too, where you don't even have to leave.
Scotty.
But in what year was Total Recall set? That was actually 2038, Tamika, that Total Recall was set in. So just think of a couple of years from now, we might actually get to go on a virtual trip and become a spy and be, you know, don't know if we're dreaming or not. But, you know, we could actually, it's like one of those things is it could happen, but the technology is not there yet.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting there. I mean, you have all the VR stuff and
Oculus and
like,
all that.
Yeah, and there's games for it that, you know, are kind of like choose your own adventure. So
true.
I mean, VR is really cool. I mean, it's a technology that's like that. But the problem is, yeah, I think they got to create it so like you can put it on for a while. But because I think I can only play it like 30 or 45 minutes, and I have to take it off because you can't play that for eight. Like you can't like fast track that one or like speed run that game. Those games. No, I'm not.
Why can't you? Is it like what makes you tired?
I don't know. It's just like it's when you have the goggles on, and you're staring at like a tiny screen, but it looks like it's a big screen. I think it's like it's eye strain. And it's also too like. There's a lot of cables with the PSVR, like the first one. There's a lot of cables to set up, so it's like you can't really go that far. So I think once technology goes on, maybe. But I think it's just like I think it's a lot of like I think that's even the recommendation in the instruction manual. Like, play don't play this for longer than an hour.
Right. Same thing with Oculus. But although Oculus has more room to actually walk and everything, too. I don't think you're hooked up to a lot of wires or anything with Oculus. From what I heard, I think Oculus is better than the PS5 VR and everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They, like the PS5 VR is coming out in a couple, I think, because they just announced PSVR 2. And it's only one cable that's like one plug in. So, I mean, and I think the thing it just needs games because there's a game that's like you're a spy in a sense. So, but yeah, technology is getting there. Like, again, I mean, James Cameron's creating tech, like glasses where you don't need like 3D movies where you don't need glasses. And there's a man that I think he's working with, like, I think Caltech or something, like some one of those like really like smart schools where everybody's like really, really smart with tech and stuff. That they're working on maybe where you can watch 3D without the glasses, which like, I mean, there's a man that can do it. I'm not down James Cameron.
I always felt like 3D was overrated, but if there's a way to do 3D and not have glasses, because I never understood putting glasses over glasses to see a movie.
Avatar, James Cameron's Avatar. I watched that in 3D. Changed the game for me because there's moments where I took the glasses off and I felt like I wasn't missing anything. He blended it into the screen because it was like my dad and I saw it and like because I was really fascinated with the whole idea. Like the movie just changed. I mean, like, because I'm a huge James Cameron fan.
That's awesome.
My supervisor said her husband punched the TV wearing his Oculus headset.
I feel like that's what I would do.
They have this exercise program too, where the exercise instructor is like, "You're doing awesome. You're a great guy. You're awesome. You can do it." And I'm like, and you can actually just picture yourself. Wait, how do you know I'm awesome? I could be an asshole, but you're calling me I'm an awesome guy.
You're actually just sitting there, just watching them work out. You're not doing anything.
I've done that with the insanity workouts before, because I was I did the insanity workout so hard that I was actually about to puke, and I'm just sitting there. I'm drinking my water, and the guy goes, "Come on, you can do it." "Yep, sure can." Drinking. He goes, "You almost got it." "Yep, it's almost empty." And he goes, "Okay, we're done." "Yep, sure are." And so am I. So I shut the
I mean, it was I've seen it, Avatar in 3D. That was not my intentions. My dad and I just did it because it was spur of the moment. Like, we just like figured something because it was a long movie, went like a short time. And then him and I were like, we were gonna like try to make our first 3D IMAX movie. It was gonna be Avatar 2, but fortunately, Avatar 2 is not out, and he fortunately passed. But that was the thing to go see that. And I mean, I'm still to this day, I'm still one of the few people that's really excited for the new Avatar movie, especially with the Oceans of Pandora, because you may hate the guy, but you cannot hate the fact that he creates some visually stunning movies.
It's visually stunning. I mean, I have the regular DVD, the extended cut on DVD.
I mean, yeah, and I mean,
I saw it twice in theaters.
I'm super excited for Avatar 2. Like, honestly, like, I loved the first one. I was blown away by the visuals. Like, I can't wait to see, because I'll be hopefully going to Florida in May, and I haven't been to Animal Kingdom since like a long time. This is way before Avatar came out, so I have not experienced Pandora at Animal Kingdom, and it's like coming out this, and the movie should hopefully be out this December. This December hopefully should be out. I'm pumped because I think if it's anything like the because he had to film it, create another camera just to film the Oceans of Pandora. And I think I know Kate Winslet's in this. If you have a love interest, you know, move your fat ass and give some space, because Leo could have survived, but that's a different movie. But she's supposed to be in it. I think Vin Diesel is supposed to be in it at some capacity. Again, I don't know. I don't know what to expect with this, and I don't know what to expect with the other three or four movies that are coming out, but I'm really excited. I mean, I'm definitely going to try to see that in IMAX 3D, because that movie is – he changed it for 3D. He made me enjoy 3D, and I just know, like, Sean, that was my first year working up the, like, that first December working at the theater, and that movie was doing really good business. That one that broke weeks – a box office, like, it was number one for weeks.
Yeah, like, we had it for a while.
Yeah. it was a really popular movie. That one, like, it started out slow, and then it started picking up like hotcakes because of the word of mouth, and everybody had to see it.
To be honest with you, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not excited to see Avatar, but if the trailer sells me, I'm going to see it. But I also know one thing, not to rule against James Cameron. Because James Cameron knows how to sell a movie, and he knows how to reel you in, and he knows how to tell a story. And if he's able to sell me off of a second Avatar movie, but to being so long, then I'm in, because I know not to go against James Cameron.
Man, he's got a really good track record for sequels. Like, him with sequels, like Aliens, my favorite Alien movie. So good. It was like, it's a way that, like, the Aliens was so good. Terminator 2. Awesome. Can you remember any other sequels he's done? I think those were the Titanic two main ones. Oh, God, no. Why? Well, only two people died in that movie. So, no, it was pretty bad. I mean, the Titanic 2 missed the whole point of the game, of the greatest game of human Plinko.
But for you, Sean, though, are you excited for the second Avatar movie, though?
Yeah, I mean, I'll see it. I saw the first one once. I really enjoyed it. Like, I thought it was a great movie. I recommended it to people. So yeah, when it comes out, I'll definitely.
I mean, the extended cut version is really good for it too, because there's like he came out with like a different cut of it, but the visuals and that. I mean, and then I think what really saw the first trailer didn't. It was like, okay, this is gonna be pretty cool. And I think this was back when Fox Sports, like right before Sunday NFL football, they have like special trailers. That's how I got hooked on The Taken. It was the second trailer where, Liam Neeson, he has spikes in his hand. He goes, "Wake up!" And he just flat out stabs the guy that he's torturing. This one's in the, I think, in the extended cut. This wasn't in the theater movie we saw in the theaters. Like, it was released on DVD, but the trailer showed him wake up, and he stabs the knitting needles or needles through the guy's leg. And I was like, damn, okay, I gotta see Taken now. And they showed the second trailer for Avatar, and it was a very long, it was about a 2.5 minute trailer. But the thing with Avatar, what they showed you in the trailer doesn't mess, like, I mean, James Cameron's really good at showing you stuff to get you hooked, but not showing you everything. And that's hard to do these days, because everybody likes to show you everything. But like halfway through the trailer, they played this musical score. I forgot the name of it. It really set the tone for the movie, and it was like an intense score. And I was like, all right, I'm in. But that was back when they showed trailers. But that's how I saw this trailer for Avatar 2, and I was like, all right, I'm in. We're not Avatar 2, but Avatar 1. They haven't even shown a trailer for Avatar 2 yet. We're still about like 11 months away. I'll get delayed again
due to COVID.
Well, is there any other thoughts about Total Recall or anything like that you guys want to mention?
Yeah, I mean, if you have not seen this already, like this was my first experience with it, definitely check it out if you're a huge fan of like sci-fi action movies. I mean, this, like we've said previously, this kind of changed the game for all like the new releases and even the stuff that comes out today. So it's definitely a must watch.
Get your ass to Mars.
Yes. Yeah, this movie was a lot of fun. I'm glad that we got a chance to review this movie. And of course, we've been wanting to do this for a while now, so I'm glad that we finally got a chance to do it.
So asking the audience, what's the next Paul Verhoeven movie would you like us to review? Since Sean revealed to us that he hasn't seen the original RoboCop, that's most likely going to be the next one we'll do. But what are you interested in us reviewing next? I'm excited to review RoboCop because that movie is just freaking awesome. It's 80s awesomeness, and the greatest villain I've seen in a long time is Clarence Boddicker, the great Kurtwood Smith. He was about to put some foot in asses.
But so anyways, that's going to be it as far as the show goes and everything. I do appreciate you guys talking about Total Recall and everything. I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun talking about it. So anyways, guys, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, Sean and Charlie will be back again. And we're going to be doing a review on the last Rambo movie, Rambo Last Blood. Or what I like to call is Taken plus Saw plus Home Alone equals...
Home Alone 6, Rambo's Revenge.
Taken
equals Rambo Last Blood.
Taken as if the girl dies, and Liam Neeson goes on the murderous rampage. But he still goes. But Liam Neeson goes on the murderous rampage anyway. So yeah, but pretty much that. Taken as if the ending is not happy. Yeah, Running Man would be an interesting one.
I wouldn't mind doing Running Man. That sounds like a fun one. But anyways, so you guys can go on ahead, catch us at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time for Rambo Last Blood. Of course, guys, go on ahead on Thursday. I'm going to have Alex from A-Town Reviews and also independent actress Rossi McCree with me at 8 o'clock Central Time. Well, no, not 8 o'clock Central Time this time, 9 o'clock Central Time. And we're going to be doing a review of Distances. This is going to be an indie short film that was sent in to me from one of the directors that wanted me to check out their short film review, a short film of Distances. So go ahead and check that out on Thursday night at 9 o'clock Central Time, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific Time. So, of course, guys, if you guys want an audio-only podcast of this episode and many episodes that we do here at Movie Love Tonight, you guys can get that wherever you guys get your podcast from. Also, too, go over to Good Pods. Good Pods is basically the social media for podcasts. And so that's where you guys can go in here, get audio only podcasts of our show, wherever you guys get your major podcasts from. Also to go on ahead, follow me underneath Twitter at Movie Lovers Unit. And of course, if you want to donate to the page, just go on ahead and follow me under, just go on ahead and go to GoFundMe.com/Movie Lovers Podcast. And then go under, if you want to go in and follow the page, just go to Movie Lovers TV Lovers Night on Facebook underneath the same brand name on Pinterest and on Instagram as well. And I'm also doing a, speaking of Tamika, we're actually doing a fundraiser for Children's of St. Jude's Hospital. So if you guys want to go in and get yourself a Cincy, and all proceeds go over to the Children of St. Jude's Hospital. As a matter of fact, our goal is probably about $500. That's our goal that we're trying to set right now for the Children of St. Jude. So go ahead, get yourself a Cincy, donate $5 to $10 to them, or just get yourself a Cincy. And then, of course, guys, go ahead, follow me, like I said, on Twitter at Movie Lovers Unit, and of course, on TikTok at Movie Lovers Unit Zero. And then if you guys want to go ahead and want to be on the show, all you have to do is reach out to me at movielovertonight@gmail.com. And that's everywhere you can reach me at. Thanks again, Charlie. Thanks again, Sean. I do appreciate you guys talking about Total Recall. It was fun. I can't wait to do this again. And always until next time. Get to the potty. All right. That's a horrible Arnold Schwarzenegger impression on me. So anyways, always until next time, guys. Bye-bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.